What is the art of telling a joke? This is Dr. Herbert L. Varley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. What is the art of telling a joke? Well, one of the primary things that we say to people about jokes, do not laugh at your own jokes. When you're telling a joke, keep a straight face. Because if you laugh while you're telling a joke, you sometimes, you know, give a lead on there and give away the pitch line. And you want to be careful you don't give it away, because then the joke ceases to be funny. What is the best way to tell a joke? Well, a joke is usually something that is humorous, something that is makes people laugh, that makes people look at a subject from just a little different point of view, you know. And looking at things from just a little different point of view, you think of it differently, and you think of it in a very interesting way, whereas you hadn't done it before. Now, Daniel told us a joke this morning, whenever he told it, and the joke was about bread and sex. And so then along comes Ellen, and Ellen brings up the joke, and Daniel didn't catch the joke that he had told that she was using, because he didn't expect Ellen to use a joke about bread and sex. And so it was totally out of the picture, out of the range of what Ellen might normally do. But Ellen has been at the university for so long now, and she has been so blasé about all the activities of life and all the mannerisms of life that none of these things shake her boat anymore. If her husband would have come home and told her a story like Daniel did, she would have said, "What do you, kind of house do you think this is? You talk like that, you know." And of course, her husband died a number of years ago, and so that would have been a number of years ago. And in that time, many things have changed in the mannerisms of people and in the mannerisms of telling jokes. But a joke that will make people laugh is always a beautiful thing if the people are laughing for a harmonious idea. If people are laughing because it's a smutty idea, a dirty idea, because it's hurtful to somebody, because it picks on somebody or demeans someone, that is not really a worthwhile joke to ever be told. But we tell them. And we tell them because it's funny. Now, I have one joke that I tell, and I tell it over the years and again and again and again. And the reason I have the one joke is that it's the one that I remember. And sometimes I even forget the punchline. And it's such a simple joke. I will tell it to you now. There was the man driving along the road and had a flat tire. So he pulled the car to the edge of the road, took out his jack and his tire wrench, and took off the nuts of the wheel, and then he put the nuts in the hubcap and set it behind him, and he took the wheel off. So at that time, a car drove by, and his wheel touched the hubcap and flipped all the nuts into the grass. And so the guy was irritated, naturally. He's all set to put the hubcap back, the nuts back on the wheel, because he had changed the tire. Well, he started looking in the grass, and he searched in the grass, and he looked in the grass, and he looked in the grass, and he didn't realize that there was a fence there, and there were some people standing behind the fence watching him. And they said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "Well, I was changing my tire, and at a flat, and I put my nuts in the hubcap here, and it was behind me, and the car hit it, and I could only find two of the eight nuts that is, or you know, five nuts that are supposed to be there, and I can't drive, you know, away. And they said to him, "Well, why is that?" "Oh, I haven't got enough nuts, you know." And he said, "They said, well, surely you can. You just take one on each end of the wheel, you know, on each end of the nut, so it holds the wheel tight, and slowly drive to the service station and buy some more nuts." And so he looked at the people and he says, what is this place here that, you know, you're behind the fence here?" And they said, "Oh, this is the insane asylum." And they said, "Oh, yeah, also called the nut house, yeah. But, and well, what are you doing back there? I mean, you know how to solve my problem." And the man in behind the fence says, "Well, we may be insane, but we're not stupid, you know." And of course, that does bring a little bit of a laugh to some people. But I probably even am telling it wrong.
Yeah, he says it's fun, huh?
No, no, no.
If you are looking for nuts, then come in here a lot of you. Here you have a lot of nuts.
No, that was not the point.
No, that would have been a derogatory remark. But no, this was just something of that nature. And like I say, I don't tell jokes because I oftentimes don't bother remembering them. Ask me something more technical, you know, about space and stars and about stem cells and things of that nature, and I can tell you all about that. And I think Ellen pays me the greatest compliment. I just love to hear her say it. She says, "Herb, whenever you give a lecture, it is always so charming, so humorous, and so enjoyable, because you have so much humor in your talk, so much joyousness in your talk." And I never even think of my talks as being joyous. I think I'm being very definite, down to the earth, and to the point. But you see, humor does not have to be a joke. And humor doesn't have to be something that belittles another person or that demeans any type of society or any type of action. And the sooner that all of us find harmony and peace and happiness and humor in the beauty of life, then that's great. I told you the story, which I dearly love to tell, and I'll tell you just a little bit of it. This man was a scientist, you know the one, at NASA. And he came home, and his kid said, "Dad, tell us how the Earth started. How did the world start?" And the father said, "Well, sit down. I'll tell you the story. Can my friends come too?" "Sure, sure." So they called the neighborhood kids in. They all sat around the living room on the floor, and Dad started telling the story. He said, "Well, once upon a time," you know, all stories have to have once upon a time when you're telling them, "once upon a time, there was a lonely little atom. One little atom all by itself in the entire allness of nothingness. Just one little atom. And he was so lonely. He was so lonely. He didn't know what to do. And he says, 'I want some playmates. I want somebody to play with. I want more activity in my life. And I'm going to hold my breath until it happens.'" Well, he held his breath, and he held his breath, and he held his breath until he exploded. Yeah, this is what kids do. And so he exploded and created all the atoms that spread through far and wide across the universe, all because of this one little atom felt lonely. Now, and if you listen to it, you think to yourself, "Well, now that's interesting." And of course, the story goes on because it's a Shaggy Dog story. It has many areas that you can talk about. But the point is, anyone who listens to it, if it's a child, they say, "Yeah, I can understand that, you know, I'll hold my breath." If it's an adult, the adult will say, "Yeah, that's the way children act, that's the way children are." And if it's a scientist, they'll say, "Well, how did the little atom know that it was lonely when there was never any other little atoms around it to tell him that it was lonely?" And how could an atom hold its breath when an atom doesn't have a human form in which to hold its breath to explode? And you see, all these irrationalities make no difference, but they make it humor when you allow yourself to not judge, but listen and say, boy, where did that come from? You know, how the atom be able to hold its breath, you know, and there's no breath, and there's no air. There's nothing there in that wonderful area of the allness and the nothingness. But telling stories and telling jokes is a very sensitive type of thing. And if you are not very careful doing it, you can easily put your foot in your mouth. And I don't put my foot in my mouth very often because I just don't tell stories. But I do tell a lot of very creative ideas. And they're exciting and lots of fun. And they're the type of thing that you can tell too. And when you talk to your kids, and you talk to your family, and you talk to your world, if you just respect them like you respect yourself, and say the things to them like you'd say to yourself, saying, hey, you're the greatest, you're wonderful, I respect your idea, I respect your thought, I respect the way you look at things, then the world itself becomes a joyous, wonderful place to be in. And we don't ever have to prove ourselves to anybody. Just be yourself and have fun. And enjoy yourself and enjoy your world. Because it's your world. And if you privilege yourself to listen to the garbage of the world, don't be surprised if your body is filled with garbage. If you're going to listen to dirty stories, don't be surprised if you have illnesses, dirty illnesses in your body. Pneumonia, cancer, you know, all that nice stuff, you know. And if you're going to tell naughty things and tell naughty jokes and so forth, you can be sure they backfire. They backfire right to you, at your world. And the dirtiest thing in the world, which we all have a tendency to say, is I'm not wonderful. I am not whole and perfect. I am not good. I am not beautiful. I am not one. This fantastic. Whenever we say that, we are lying, because we are wonderful. We are fantastic. We are good, and our body is just waiting for us to do it. It's done unto you according to your thought. Now our body is just waiting for us to tell it that it's wonderful. And when we tell our body it's wonderful, the body will say, good, yes, you got the message, that's what I am, that's what I like to be. Then you say, oh, I feel so terrible, oh, I feel bad, I got this problem, that problem. And your body will say, well, I thought we were going to have a sunny day, but if that's what you want, okay, we'll go that direction, because I don't care. Now, there's no good, there's no bad. It's whatever direction you want to go. And if you want to go that direction, go ahead. But always tell your body how wonderful it is, how perfect it is, how beautiful it is. And you can never say it enough. Rex can never get enough hugging. You know that? Never. And he'll wear each one of us out, hugging him and loving him and petting him. Well, our body's the same way. It wants loving and hugging and petting. And if you don't give it to it, well, it's going to say, okay, I give up the ghost. So, be careful with your jokes. They come true too often. So, tell the truth about yourself and your life and your world. And let that come true. Because that's what counts. Okay, I love you, I love you, I love you.
I love you.